Happy that you're all here today. As I pointed out in the introduction, this was really so that I could watch Star Wars again and feel good about it. And what happened as I was preparing this was that I thought I knew Star Wars. I knew the six, well, the first three mostly, but the other three I've watched. I thought I knew Star Wars. And I realized as I was going through this that Star Wars is just like accessibility. You think you know what you're doing, you think you have a good understanding of things, and as you start to research more and do more work, you find out that you actually know nothing. And there are a lot more people out there that know a lot more than you do. And that became very, very apparent to me as I was doing the research for this presentation. I've been a Star Wars fan forever, beginning with the first/fourth one, A New Hope, which was originally just entitled Star Wars. When I saw that one, I was about 6 years old, loved it, absolutely loved it, thought it was the best thing ever, and I was hooked. I saw The Empire Strikes Back, and I even saw The Return of the Jedi about 2 months after it was released in Fairbanks, Alaska. We were on a family camping trip, and we happened to go to Alaska for some reason, and so we went to the theater and saw Return of the Jedi. It was like one of the only civilized things that we did on this camping trip. It was one of the, dare I say, a defining moment in my life. I also, like other people, bought into and said, okay, well, let's go and see Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, because, hey, we can. It's there. We have to. And then Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. A slight improvement over Phantom Menace. And then Episode 3, I actually, out of the second or first trilogy, depending on which way you look at it, Episode 3 for me actually completes the story, and we start to see how it all unfolds into what we originally knew in Episode 4. And I believe that's actually an important part of that second trilogy. The Episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith, this actually is the best one. Not the best one overall, don't get me wrong. The best one of that Episode 1, 2, 3. Very similar to a lot of other people, and this is actually very similar to accessibility. A lot of us have kind of put certain things out of our mind, and we just like accessibility, there's things we choose to ignore. We refuse it even exists. Just, it wasn't even there. And for the most part, Episode 2 and 3, I kind of put those out of my mind too. And when I focused on this presentation, this is where it's at. These are the classics. These are the the real Star Wars in my mind. Yes, the other parts are important, but this is the guts. This is where all the action is, and by far, this is where the best Star Wars action occurs. How many people are? How many people say that? Well, okay. Hands up if you think The Empire Strikes Back is the best episode. Yeah. The best one. So much happens in The Empire Strikes Back. It is the only one that wasn't directed by George Lucas, which is kind of interesting. See, as I said, as you get more into this, there are people that know more than you. Now, I would actually much rather be heckled about Star Wars blunders than accessibility blunders, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay that you guys, in some cases, may know more than me. This is great. It actually, one of the things that I also found was that, you know, we have a group of accessibility people that are considered fanatics about accessibility. And if you think accessibility people are fanatics, just get a load of some of the Star Wars fans that are out there. They take fanatic to the next level. I mean, I'm like, this is mild. This is nothing. Entire conference is dedicated to Star Wars. Well, yeah, entire conference is dedicated to accessibility. This is what happens. Fanatics, we're people that get passionate about what we do, and we take things to very extreme levels. As I started investigating this as well and started doing more work, I started finding forums where people would post things like this. So this is a quote from George Lucas. Anakin is the chosen one, and even when he becomes Darth Vader, he is still the chosen one. This is George Lucas's words. He, if anybody knows, it's him. And we get into the forums, and this is a pretty black and white issue. We get into the forums. I still think Luke's the chosen one. And so you know where this is going. Well, you are wrong. If this doesn't have accessibility written all over it, I don't know what does. Some things George Lucas leaves open to interpretation. Others he's very clear on. The chosen one's identity is cut and dry. It's Anakin Skywalker, period. Discussion closed. So, of course, discussion ensues. Everything is open to interpretation. Once again, George Lucas doesn't tell me how to interpret a movie, no matter if he wrote it or not. I will not let someone else think for me. I make up my mind on all matters. This literally was a conversation from a forum that I found that lasted for 3 years. 3 long years. It started in 2005, and it has kind of come to an end in 2008, where the guy that posted the original thing that said, I still think Luke is the chosen one, he actually posted in 2008 and said, okay, yeah, you guys are right. So it's, you know, much like accessibility, it might take you a long time to get there, but eventually you realize the right thing to do and the right answers. We have accessibility in Star Wars in many ways, and in a lot of cases, as I said, it's implied. In some cases, it's explicit. And here's a great example right from one of the scenes from Return of the Jedi, when they get into and they hijack an Imperial shuttle because they want to go and they want to get down to the moon to actually see what's get there so that they can disable the shield. So here's a nice little clip.
Got warmed.
She's coming up.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Empire had Wookiees in mind when they designed her, Chewie.
This Imperial shuttle is something that was not built for Wookiees, right? Chewbacca is huge. He's massive. He's enormous. It's interesting because all of the people in the Rebel Alliance are kind of all different shapes and sizes, whereas, you know, the stormtroopers are all like they're uniform. That's it. There's one stormtrooper to rule them all, and that's it. You need one outfit. It's all uniform, right? This is very different than diversity. The Empire was all about you're going to obey. You're going to do what I say. This is it. These are the stormtroopers, and that's it. We designed for this and only this, and that's all we have to do. And this was one of the best examples I thought of this uniformity versus diversity that we embrace in the accessibility world. And it's actually there, like flat out in terms of accessibility in the movie, even though it's not really accessibility. There's also things that relate to real life. There's a lot of things in accessibility that seem like a good idea at the time, but turn out not to be.
Oh, Mooy Mooy, I love you.
You almost got us killed. Are you brainless?
I speak.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Now get out of here.
No, no, Mr. Stay. Mr. Cordiata Binks, Mr. Your humble servant.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, but it is. It is demanded by the gods, it is.
Stay down.
You saved my again.
What's this?
A local. Let's get out of here before more droids show up.
Disaster. Jar Jar might have seemed like a really good idea at the time, but in the end, I think almost everybody universally denounces Jar Jar as a character that's worthwhile having in the series at all. Might have seemed like a good idea at the time, but not necessarily something that we actually want to do. If we were going to do it again, would we have Jar Jar? Probably, maybe not. How many people hate Jar Jar? Yeah. How many people don't hate Jar Jar? Okay, so again, just like accessibility, right? There's like maybe a minority that think that this is good, and I will say, okay, maybe everything is open to interpretation. I happen to hate Jar Jar, but that doesn't, I guess, make him wrong, even though I want to believe that he's wrong. Things like Tab Index seem like a really good idea, but they aren't necessarily a good idea because you can really screw something up by using Tab Index. If you use Tab Index, you have to do it really, really well. Sorry, I need to levitate here off my robe. You need to do Tab Index really, really well. If you start messing with Tab Index, you can create more problems than you solve. And Jar Jar actually had to be in more than just one movie because he couldn't just be like, you know, gotten rid of, although he could have, which might have been nice. But they kind of had to write him out and give him a lower role. So over time, as things progress, something that might have seemed like a good idea, maybe it falls out of favor. This happens with techniques that we use all the time. Image replacement techniques, this happens. We have this great new technique. Over time, we come up with something better and we replace it. There's other things that we do that we see when we look at them the first time, we think, okay, this is great. And then after we find out more information, it doesn't necessarily make as much sense. It looks pretty proud of himself. It's like, yeah, that's right. Of course, when we see this next clip.
The Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. And my sister. It's you, Leia.
I know. Somehow, I've always known.
Always known. Whoa, whoa.
You smell something?
Sorry, little preview there.
Force is strong in my family.
Yeah, so
my father.
I'm gonna stop it now.
It's gonna go. I have it.
It's okay. We can watch it again.
My sister has it. Yes, it's you, Leia.
Doesn't it just kind of get gross when you really start to think about it?
I know.
At the time, in Empire Strikes Back, it seemed totally innocuous. Hey, this is cool. She was using Luke to get back at Han. But at the end, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You always knew? This just does not compute, doesn't make sense. One of the other concepts that we have in web design, and certainly this applies to accessibility, is that good designers copy and great designers steal. And that's the point of my next little set of clips, which we'll go through in pretty rapid succession here. Stealing from and copying from another something is quite often a good idea. And it may not always be, but let's take a look at a clip from a holiday classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. How many people watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Right, so you recognize this guy. Oh, now it works. So you recognize our Tauntaun and our Wawa. So we have our Wampa from the planet Hoth that attacks Luke. Well, we have this from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, I don't know about you, but Wampa, Bumble. Wampa, Bumble. We had the initial idea of this crazy, furry, snowy beast that existed in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It came out 5-6 years before George Lucas put together Star Wars. And I just find the resemblance kind of uncanny. But what has happened as we've progressed and we've technology progressed, we actually made the Abominable Snowman better, right? And over time, we want to make things better. So when we're stealing something or borrowing or copying, we actually want to make it better than we did before. We need to do that with accessibility. So if you're using anything from anybody, just try to make it better, make it more accessible. Now, okay. One of the other things that happens when we're talking about copying and stealing is that we do that with ourselves. We do things with projects, we create templates, we create techniques, we reuse those things over and over again, and we should do that because it's wise to do so. It saves us time and it helps ensure an accessible experience. But it doesn't always work.
That's it, I'm turning back. I know your family's waiting.
I know it's an important day.
All right, we'll give it a try.
I'll set short coordinates.
We won't jump far. I'll get you back there in time, pal. Trust me. Our only hope now is I'll run that Imperial garbage scout, though. I'm going to Lightspeed.
That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
Stand by. Here's where we say goodbye to our unpleasant friends.
The Star Wars Holiday Special. Starring Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. Harrison Ford as Han Solo. Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. With Anthony Daniels as C-3PO. Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca. R2-D2 as R2-D2. And James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader. Introducing Chewbacca's family. His wife, Mala. His father, Itchy. His son, Lumpy. With special guest stars, Beatrice Arthur, Art Carney, Jefferson Starship, Harvey Korman, and an animated Star Wars story on the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Wow. This was the second Star Wars movie ever made. Many people don't know that. How many people remember seeing this as a kid? I remember seeing this on TV and I looked for it for years and years and years and couldn't remember anything about it. It was just this vague recollection of something being really weird and bizarre and not quite right about it, because it certainly wasn't Star Wars, but it was something kind of like Star Wars. George Lucas says that, basically says, I wish I had never made that piece of crap. It was a 2-hour full-on special, holiday special. Now, I stopped it there. You can actually go and find all of this on YouTube, all the parts. So the first segment is about 10 minutes long, and I won't subject you to it, but the first 10 minutes is basically Chewbacca's family. And you can imagine the dialogue is scintillating. I won't subject you to it. But go and watch it. It's actually kind of a lot of fun. But the point is that they had a success with Star Wars. They saw, hey, Wookiees, this Wookiee character worked great. So what do we need if Wookiees work well? We need more Wookiees. This happens in accessibility a lot of the time. We have field sets and legends. We have headings. We do things all the time because we know that these things are good. But what do? We say, okay, if one of them is good, then, you know, 50 of them must be really, 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 really good. And I've seen this happen in web pages before where somebody has obviously found out that headings help a web page. And so what do? They end up making everything a heading. When everything's a heading, nothing is a heading. Part of the reason that a heading works is because it's a contrast, right? You need contrast. Just like in Star Wars, you need contrast. That first 10 minutes of the holiday special is almost unbearable because it's just Wookiees. We need some contrast. Like, throw in some Jawas or something. Like, anything, please. This entire thing is on YouTube. You can go and find it. It was brilliant. One of the other concepts that we have in web design is iterations. And we want to talk about that for just a moment here. This is a photo of an actual draft script from May of 1976. This was the fourth draft that was written for Star Wars. And in this, we actually, the story is basically the same, but there's a lot of detail in there that's different. So this is what it might look like if it was, if the fourth draft went to production. Luke was actually called Luke Starkiller, which I find kind of bizarre. And in a previous version, he was actually called Deke Skywalker. So his name was Deke. I don't know why Deke. He evolved into something else, Luke Starkiller. And this is one of the original interpretations, or some of the original artwork. There's other things that have surfaced as well. Some of the early concepts. So we've got the Cloud City. Alderaan was actually originally a city. The Cloud City was Alderaan. And if you take a look in early artwork, this is some of the kind of stuff you'll find. That changes. Alderaan becomes a planet, and it, you know, gets wiped out. But what's interesting about this is the Cloud City actually gets pulled right out and moved from the original and put into The Empire Strikes Back. And it's actually one of the interesting components of Empire Strikes Back. This kills me, this photo. This is our champions at the end. And if you take a look at the really, really, really tall person in the middle, any resemblance? Well, not to me, I mean. But it's Yoda. But he's massive. And it just, there's something about it that just doesn't work. These were some of the original concepts for C-3PO and R2-D2 as well. Part of the advantage of this is that when we're building a movie script is we get all these details out of the way first. We test things, we prototype, we say, okay, this isn't going to work, and we change them for our final product. We do that, and that's an important part of accessibility as well. These iterations are really, really important to making sure that we're doing something right at the end, and we're not just putting something out there that people are going to absolutely hate. One of the interesting parts of this as well was going and doing the comparing the enhanced versions versus the original theatrical releases. And this was something that, George Lucas did after the fact. So this is the stormtroopers on Tatooine looking for the droids. They found the escape pod from the original, and they say, "Look, sir, droids." They're actually going in here. If you take a look at some of the other scenes from that, this stuff was never in the real thing, in the original movie. The interesting part is that the technology kind of evolved over time so that they could go in and add these enhancements. What they weren't doing, though, what they were doing was just adding in these visual effects later on. So they had the core of it there, right? So here's where I'm going here. The core was there, their HTML. They didn't change their content. They were really just changing their presentation. They were adding in some little things after the fact that maybe made it enhanced, made it look a little bit better, but the core was still there. Let's take that in contrast with one of my favorite scenes of all time. The cantina. Oh yeah, my volume's down, that's why. Okay, well, I'm going to do that again then. The cantina is a brilliant scene. We have wonderful music, lots of interesting, diverse creatures. And in the cantina scene, we end up seeing Han Solo confronted by Greedo. Now, in the enhanced version, here's a slowed down clip. I'm just going to shut that right down for a second. Does everybody know this story? Okay, so Greedo comes looking for Han Solo, and he's actually, you know, I'm going to take you out, basically. I'm a bounty hunter. I'm going to take you out. And Han Solo shoots him. So let's watch what actually happens in the enhanced version, but in slow motion. Did you see that? It's very dangerous, but in the enhanced version, what happens with Han Solo versus Greedo? Greedo shoots first. Boo. What has happened here is they've gone back after the fact. They didn't just change the presentation. They changed the content. This changes everything about the story. It changes the way that Han evolves as a character. When he shoots first, he's portrayed as a pirate, as being someone who shoots first and asks questions later. In this case, Greedo shooting first, it's like, oh, but it was self-defense. That's not Han. That's just not him, right? This is something where iterations are good, enhancing is good, but in this case, we've actually changed something core to the story. And personally, for my money, I think this actually is probably one of the most contentious points in any of the enhancements that they made, and it does change the story. I remember the first time I looked at it, I was like on freeze frame and pause just to try and see, did he actually shoot first? This doesn't make any sense, right? We don't want to actually be changing the content unless there's a really, really good reason to do so. For the most part, a lot of accessibility can be dealt with by changing the way that things look. Speaking of the way things look.
Short for a stormtrooper?
Huh? Oh, the uniform.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Luke goes in to rescue Leia, and her first reaction is, aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? Well, yeah, of course he is. He doesn't fit that uniform build that stormtroopers have. But underneath, what is he? He's not a stormtrooper. He may look like it, but he's something else. This is one of the most critical pieces to accessibility, is no matter what something looks like, it's what's under the costume that actually matters. We have our presentation, what's on the outside, but what's actually there, the HTML, is the part that matters. You can style something to make it look however you want, but what's under the hood is what matters. And that's an important piece of accessibility.
How long have you had these droids?
About 3 or 4 seasons?
They're up for sale if you want them.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
He can go about his business.
You can go about your business.
Move along.
Move along. Move along.
These aren't the droids you're looking for. This is a classic moment from the very first, from episode 4. And it's Luke's first experience with a Jedi mind trick. And he doesn't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to him. The reason that I bring this up here is that Jedi mind tricks are really about two things. They're about many things, I guess. But one of these is the power of suggestion. Jedi masters use the power of suggestion to influence those people that are looking for one thing, but make them think that they're really getting something else. So in this case, we have a Jedi mind trick that we perform on these weak-minded stormtroopers. But at the end of the day, we end up doing this in web design as well. So you guys probably do some, you know, have some Jedi mind tricks of your own that you use all the time. One that I like to talk about is text resizing widgets. Text resizing widgets are something that people will put on a page to help you increase and decrease the size of the font on the page. Well, in reality, they can do that in their browser. The person that needs this functionality can do that in their browser. But the people that want, that are getting the web page built for them, they want somebody to be able to do that quickly on their site. So instead of having them go through preferences and find the text resizing functionality within their browser, they're actually putting it right in the page. So one of the things that, and people will ask for it, they continually ask for it. I don't know why, they just keep asking for it. But one of the things that you can do is kind of use a Jedi mind trick on them. These aren't the text sizing widgets that you're looking for. One of the things that we've started doing is putting an icon on the page that looks kind of like it's a text resizing widget. So it gives a feeling of this is something that's going to give us some functionality. And when you click it, it goes to another page that has instructions, very quick, brief instructions on how to resize the text in your page. Now, some people won't like that. We actually did this on a site, and within the first day, somebody had written in and saying, well, it would be much better if you just let those icons resize the text in the first place rather than telling me how to do it. And this was supposed to be an accessibility person as well. Like, you're going to find that Jedi mind tricks like this don't always work. But that's an example of where the power of suggestion, the fact that text resizing icon is on the page in the first place may be enough to get people past the fact that they think that they need to have something on that page itself. This is one of my favorites.
How long have you had these?
Nope, not that one. Go forward, not back.
You see? You can do it.
I call it luck.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Look, good against remotes is one thing. Good against the living, that's something else.
Han has no idea how brilliant he just was. Good against remotes is one thing. Good against the living is another. Luke is using the Force to channel his energy to be able to block these remote droids that are shooting at him. And Han always brings it back to reality, saying, you know, good against these remotes is okay, but the living people and living or living creatures, whatever race of creature they may be, are actually what matters. And that's one of the most important pieces that I've found in watching all of the Star Wars episodes is this. At the end of the day, it's about the people. We need to keep that in mind. Just because we can go and we can test with screen readers doesn't mean that it's actually good, right? Testing with a screen reader is one thing, but having an actual person that's using a screen reader every day is another. It's good against the living that matters. It's not just about good against remotes and good against machines. One of my favorite parts of the original Star Wars as well is all the plans for the Death Star and that whole episode finishes with I know I'm not spoiling anything for anybody, right? Like, everybody's watched everything, I assume. I'm trying to be careful with what I say, but I don't think I need to. In the finale, when the Death Star is taken down, it's a brilliant sequence of events. So it all starts with the droid, with R2 getting the plans to the rebellion. So we analyze the plans of the Death Star. How many people have seen this picture on Flickr before? There's an original picture of Jeremy, and there's another one here, analyzing the. These pictures are brilliant. I had to use them. But we get the plans for the Death Star, and we actually see Jeremy and Jessica analyzing them and coming up with the plans. So General Keith passes his plans on to the rest of the rebellion so that they can execute. And here's where we end up.
Only a precise hit will set up a chain reaction. The shaft is ray shielded, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes.
That's impossible, even for a computer.
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than Team Eater.
So we analyze the plans to the Death Star. We start looking at it, and there's two things that happen here. One, and I find this happens in accessibility and in the web all the time. The Death Star is an absolute technical marvel. Technologically brilliant, so to speak. I mean, the fact that it has the firepower to destroy planets is unheard of. It does things that have never been even dreamed of before. How many people have built websites and web applications like that, or have been on teams where people want you to build websites and applications like that? Right? It's an absolute technological marvel. But the problem is, it's got this little tiny problem. It's kind of wide open to a small-scale attack from small fighters. Well, how much is that like accessibility? You have a website or an application that is an absolute technical marvel, yet one little tiny flaw makes the whole thing fall apart, right? Small little accessibility problems can actually become massive and not bring the site down, but make a site that would otherwise be usable and accessible completely unusable to somebody that's using, say, a screen reader or voice recognition software. We see this all the time in accessibility. And the Death Star is like a perfect example of that. Technologically brilliant, but fatally, fatally flawed. The other side of this that I think is really quite critical is Luke. Right? There's so much wrapped up in this. So the guy on the right there is Wedge. Or how many people know about fake Wedge? Because he's not actually Wedge. There's an original Wedge, and then there's this fake Wedge because the real Wedge was sick on the day that they were shooting this. So this is Wedge, fake Wedge. But he doesn't believe that this 2-meter target can actually be accomplished with even by a computer. A computer can't even do that. You got to be kidding me. This is impossible. And Luke comes through and he says, "Well, you know, I've got the Force on my side, even though I don't really know it. So I'm not used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters across." Luke's actually a believer. He says, "Oh, come on, it's not impossible. We can do this." And this sets the stage for Luke to actually be a mighty and powerful Jedi. He believes that this stuff can be done. It's not about computers. It's about people. And his belief that he can do it is actually really, really quite important. We're starting to get into some of the emotional parts here. I'm going to try not to cry.
You, what god am I? The last of the Jedi will you be? Luke, the Force will strong in your family. Pass on what you have learned.
Yoda's words are so, well, apart from the fact that he's dying and he's saying this stuff. I mean, this is an incredibly moving scene. He's leaving some parting words for the next Jedi. The only remaining Jedi will be Luke. And how many people are accessibility people within their companies? How many of you feel like you're like the last Jedi? Right? Like you are it, right? Yoda's words here are actually really useful to us as a reminder that we have to pass on what we have learned. What we learn from one project, we have to pass on to the next. we have to make sure, as the accessibility Jedis, that we're passing on that knowledge to other people that are working on new projects. We have to be there to mentor them, to guide them, to help them channel the Force, to be more accessible. This is a really a piece of advice that you can't take lightly. A final set of scenes. This is one of my favorite sequences from The Empire Strikes Back as well. When Luke is on Dagobah doing his Jedi training, and Yoda is training him, and he's got him here where he's actually standing on one hand with Yoda on his foot, which, I mean, hey, I'm fantastic. I don't know how you're doing that. And he's lifting a stone up. And as he's lifting his stone up, he starts to hear something else happening in the background, and his X-Wing fighter actually falls deeper into the swamp. Or it doesn't.
We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you? Always with you, what cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
I love Yoda. There's so much wrapped up in there, in the things that he's sharing with us. Always with you, it cannot be done. This is no different than moving stones, right? Small things, big things, it doesn't matter. It's no different. We have to take the simple concepts that we use on a regular basis in accessibility and apply them at a higher level, right? We can't just say, oh, it's too big of a project. We'll never make this accessible. It can happen. You just have to believe that you can do it, right? Always with you, it cannot be done. Right. Yoda, he's inspiring. This was one of the best moments of all the movies. Yoda then, you know, he takes this and famous line, no, do or do not. There is no try. We have to kind of believe that with accessibility as well. We can't try to make it accessible. We can't try to work it into the project. We can't try. We have to actually do it. Right now, that I know there's things that we can't do, we do try, but the concept is still there. It's still sound. We have to believe that we are doing it. We're not going to try to do it. It has to be something at the outset of a project that we're not going to try and make this accessible. We're going to. Sometimes we may have to cut back, whatever. I understand that. That's reality. But you know, we do have to make that commitment that yes, we are going to do this. So of course, you know, Luke says he's going to try, and he sits there for 5 minutes, and he's doing it. The X-Wing is starting to come up, and Yoda gets his look on his face. He's like, he's all excited, like, oh my God, he can do it. And then R2 starts spouting off and makes him lose his concentration, and the X-Wing sinks back down to the bottom of the swamp in Dagobah. What ends up happening next is that Luke gets really frustrated. He comes back to Yoda and he says, you ask the impossible. This is impossible. He goes off and Luke kind of, he sulks in the corner for a bit. Right? He goes, sits behind a tree and he kind of sits there sulking, not happy about it. He's like, this sucks. I'm out of here. Dagobah's not fun anymore. I'm never going to get this accessibility stuff. I can't do it. Right? He's dejected. He's had enough. And so Yoda steps in. Thank you.
believe it.
That is why you fail.
That is the, hands down, the most brilliant part of Yoda's involvement in the movies. I don't believe it. That is why you fail. And as accessibility people or designers and developers that believe in accessibility, we have to take that to task. We have to always believe, because if we stop believing at any point in time, we will fail to deliver on our promise of building accessible websites and applications for people. We need to take Yoda's words to heart, and we need to make sure that we are the believers. I know you guys all are already, but we have to make believers out of other people, right? People that don't necessarily know enough about accessibility, or even understand it, or even some. I still run into people regularly that say, "You mean blind people can use computers?" We have to make believers out of those people as well. Yoda needs to make a believer, or is trying to make a believer out of Luke. We need to do that as well. It went a little faster than I thought it was going to. I wasn't planning on doing questions, but we do have some time. Before I do that, though, you may not have any questions. But I do want to thank Anton. Because Anton, all of these illustrations that are in here were done by Anton Peck. He's a brilliant artist, and I have to say thank you very much for all the stuff here. You did a fantastic job. So thank you, Anton. And with that, I'm going to go to my last slide, because I can. Put medals around all of your necks right now, but I don't have any. Thank you very much. I'm glad you guys all came. I hope you enjoyed it. Think about some of those things, some of the concepts that are in there. Feel free to use them. I lay no claim to most of it, and actually any of it, well, in terms of copyrighted material, there were no copyright violations here today. Everything is fine. Thank you very much again. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to talk. And for those of you that know more about Star Wars than me, feel free to come up and set me straight afterwards. Thank you, guys.